Well, good morning. How is everyone? Good. You sound a little awake this morning. I think daylight savings time is in a couple weeks. That's when you gain the hour of sleep, right? I think all of us will be excited for that. Yeah, there was an excitement right there. Hey, I want to welcome everyone here in this room. My name is David Mobley. I'm one of the pastors of Vintage Church. As you'll soon hear in a little bit, Vintage Church is one church in many congregations. We have a congregation in downtown Raleigh, another in North Raleigh, Durham, and then we are Vintage's newest church plant. We launched in January of 2020. In case you're doing the math, that's 2.5 months before a pandemic hit. So it's been an amazing journey, but we're so glad that you're here this morning. Vintage is a church for doubters, seekers, and followers of Christ. And so I want to welcome you, no matter where you find yourself on that spiritual journey today. And this morning, we are continuing our new Abound series. So we're calling it Abound. And we've been walking through the book of Nehemiah, what we consider to be a generational moment for our church. And so if you're new or checking us out in this season, this is a really good peek behind the curtain for what we believe that God is calling us to in the months, years, and even decades to come as we consider what's going on in the triangle around us and how we believe that God is calling us to respond. And so if you are a doubter or seeker joining us either here in person or online, I would argue that this is part of what the church should be seeking, part of what we should be striving for, that being seeing God's love, God's grace, and God's justice overflow into our cities. And if you don't see that as a doubter or a seeker, if you don't see us walking more in the footsteps of Jesus, you have the right to call us out on that. You have the right to hold us accountable as a church. We're inviting it into you, or inviting you into that rather. And I really do invite you to come on this journey with us. I believe that if you give us the 5 more remaining weeks of this series, you'll see that this is family and that you belong. So again, we're glad that you're here. And if you have been checking us out, there's really 2 practical steps that you can take to getting plugged into the church. The first is filling out this Connect card. You should have seen it on your seat as you walked in. Simply fill out your contact information. I would love to reach out to you later this week and answer any questions that you may have about the church. And then specifically in this season, you can text the word abound to the number 94000, and that'll help you receive all of our weekly text message updates. It's not every single day. It's not multiple days. It's just one a week with really helpful resources and reminders in this season. So again, that is texting the word abound to the number 94000. Now this morning, as you heard, we're going to be jumping into Nehemiah chapter 2. The scripture reading can actually be found on your Abound booklet. That's page 40 if you want to turn there now. There's space to read the scripture and interact with the text and even take notes. And if you did not receive a book last week, would you please raise your hand? It won't be super awkward. Someone will come and pass you a booklet. So again, if you don't have a booklet, please raise your hand and we'll give you pens and booklets so that you can interact with us. I'm excited for this week too. It's been really exciting preparing this week. But before we jump in, let's first pray together. God, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for the opportunity that it is to gather with your people to worship you. I know so much goes on outside of these walls. So much goes on every single day of the week, every hour of the day, and it's heavy and it's hard. And many of us are bringing that in with us today. And I pray that in this place, there would be your spirit of peace and calmness. I pray that you would meet us as we jump into Nehemiah. Holy Spirit, help these words to come alive. Help them to encourage us. Help them to shape in us more into the image of Jesus, whose footsteps we're attempting to walk in by your power. And it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. All right, we've got a lot to cover today, so let's jump right into our text. All right, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 into verse 2 says this. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing that you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart." So last week, as we started this series, we asked each and every one of you at Vintage Church, like Nehemiah, to fully engage with the Lord during this series. And part of that was attending each and every week during Abound, right? And the reason is because just like every other book that you would ever read, Scripture is also a book, and if you miss a chapter and just try to parachute into the next chapter, you're going to miss some context, right? As will our journey through Abound. So again, in the event that you happen to miss a Sunday, I am really asking you and encouraging you, would you please still engage with Sunday's worship? That may look like tuning in online with us on our Facebook group or watching it later on YouTube. It could also be listening or watching the sermon later on throughout the week. Again, you can do that through the Facebook group, the YouTube channel, or even the Vintage Church app, and you can listen to the sermons. But this is a journey. It's not one that we can parachute in and out of. And it's a parachute, or a journey rather, that we're trying to take together. And to do that, we have to be in step together, right? On the same page as we lock arms in advance. Now, all that to be said, last week we read chapter 1 of Nehemiah. And just a brief summary would be that Nehemiah hears the report of his city, Jerusalem, back home. He's in Persia at the time. And he hears of its condition, both physical and spiritual. And in that moment, he feels the burden with everything that he is. And so in response, he engages with the Lord in prayer. And during that time, he realizes that he is in a position to do something about it. And so he acts, right? And then during that time, we drew many parallels between the condition of Jerusalem and the triangle today, all while considering how we can fully engage with the Lord during what we would consider to be a generational moment for our church. But more than just giving you a summary so that you're caught up to speed, in order to be in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, we need to get our hearts back up to speed with his. Right? We all felt that tension last week. I said that you couldn't feel that tension and then just leave and do nothing with it because Nehemiah didn't just leave it there, right? We need to remember that Nehemiah is overwhelmed with what's going on in his city. He's heartbroken. In fact, his heart is so distraught that now his face shows it, which if you look at the text, was an abnormality. Right, look back at verse 1 in your booklet. It says, "Now I had not been sad in his presence." But not today. Today is different. And today the king notices. And so he asks, quite simply, what is going on? Part of what we talked about last week was sanctification. Are becoming more like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we said that part of sanctification is seeing the world as Jesus does, caring for the things that Jesus cares about, our hearts breaking for what Jesus' heart breaks for, and we concluded that Jesus weeps for the triangle. And so then I asked you, do you care? Do you feel the burden? In the depth of your heart to the centrality of who you are. What we see in this passage is that if you don't know the answer to that question, ask others in your life. They'll tell you. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. They know if your heart breaks for the triangle. Ask them. So Nehemiah gets asked a question by arguably the most powerful man in the world. His response comes in verses 2 through 3. Starts off very plainly, "Then I was very much afraid. And I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad? When the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire.'" Now, it's important, again, to remember the context of chapter 1 of this book, which we read about last week. And I would argue that most of the context of chapter 1 can actually be summarized in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. It's not on the screen, but it says this. He says, as soon as I heard these words, he didn't need time to process and think about it. As soon as he heard these words, I sat down and wept and I mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And if you do the math between what it tells you the month was in chapter 1 and the month that it is in chapter 2, this has been around 4 months. 4 months of Nehemiah weeping and mourning and fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So I think that we could argue that Nehemiah is fully engaged. Would you agree with that statement? Right, so when you think back on your last week, after you heard the state of the triangle, did you spend time weeping and mourning and fasting and praying just over these past 7 days? That's not a guilt trip. It might be a wake-up call, I don't know. But what I'm trying to do is get us to the context of what is going on. Because in Nehemiah's own words, right? This isn't someone else writing for him. Nehemiah says, I was terrified. Why? Well, again, you got to realize he has spent months now engaging with the Lord. He's prayed, he's listened, and he discerns, and he believes he knows how God is calling him to act. And the result is terrifying. Because what he's doing right now, discussing this matter with the king, could be viewed as disloyalty. It could cost him his job, which was wine bearer to the king. It could cost him his livelihood. It could potentially cause him his life. But Nehemiah believed that it was worth the cost. And so he responded accordingly. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, Jesus once taught this to the crowds who were coming and following him. He says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Now, Jesus' teaching is not revolved around a bound. A bound is not the center of the universe, right? Jesus' teaching applies to being his follower. Following Jesus will be costly. It will cost you something. And you likely feel that in the season that we're in, that is rapidly changing day by day. Following Jesus could cost you your status with other people, your position at your workplace, the way that people think about you. It could cost you your finances. It could cost you your comfort. It could cost you your home. It could cost you everything. And if you feel like following Jesus is not costing you anything, as your pastor, I would ask you to discern why that might be. But my question for you really, as a follow-up from last week and extending throughout this series of Abound, is how have you and how will you, like Nehemiah, spend time considering the cost? Because last week we laid out the spiritual condition of the triangle. Like 50% of the triangle, and obviously that's old, it's probably growing more and more every day. 50% of the triangle doesn't follow Jesus. 15% have left the church, and more deny even the idea of a God. But we talked about how those aren't just in the cloud statistics. That's not just statistics from over there. That could apply to your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, and potentially for some of us gathered here today, it could apply to you. And in order for that to change, it's going to cost something. Do you think it's worth it? For Nehemiah, it was. He shared his heart with the king, and now the dialogue continues in verses 4 through 6. Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's grave, that I may rebuild it." And the king said to me, with the queen sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" So far in this brief moment of time, the king has seen Nehemiah's outward emotion. Now he gets to hear the condition of his heart, the inward burden that he's carrying, and what is his response? It's astounding, honestly. It's in the form of two questions. What are you requesting? And then the follow-up question is, how long will you be gone? And the answer to this question for Nehemiah could go one of two ways. It could go really well for Jerusalem, right? He could get to go. He could get to rebuild the wall. It could go really well for his people. The other side of the coin is it could go really poorly for Nehemiah. And so what we see is that he again prays first. This is a theme from last week. It's one we could afford to do more often. Pray first, and then he gives his request. Send me to Jerusalem to build the wall. He knew immediately what the plan was. Why? Because he had spent months engaging with the Lord. And in the same way, we too, as Vintage Church, have engaged with the Lord. Our lead pastor, Tyler Jones, has a heart that absolutely breaks for the triangle. Okay, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ," we would do well to imitate Tyler's heart for the lost. And listen, during this Abound series and on Sunday mornings, I cannot address everything with you. There's a lot of information to cover and during this time. And so one of the best ways that you can hear kind of supplementary information, ask questions, hear the responses, is by tuning into what we're calling Abound Online. It's Tuesday nights, 8:30 on our YouTube channel. Literally, you can email questions to info@vidagency.com. You can go to YouTube Live when it's happening and literally type comments. We had someone do that last week. It was pretty cool, actually. But I'm saying this because if you go back, I don't have time to dive into this today, but if you go back and listen to this past week's, you'll hear Tyler summarize the goals that he believes the Lord put on him for the next 20 years. And so Abound, this journey that we're taking together, is fuel for those goals. Because simply put, if we continue at the pace that we're going now, we simply cannot accomplish them. Okay, and so because we, like Nehemiah, have sought the Lord, we, like Nehemiah, also know the plan. And so just as Nehemiah started off with the high-level plan, I'll do the same with you this morning. First, we believe we need 100% engagement from every single member and regular attender at Vintage Church. Right, we talked about this a few weeks ago during the adoption portion of our salvation series. But Vintage Church as a whole, Vintage Church West, you and me gathered here today, we are family. And a family cannot function without all of its family members being fully on board. Right, Vintage Church and us here at West, we are a body. We are the body of Christ. And a body simply cannot function without all of its members working properly. Right? And so 100% engagement is vague. Like, what does that mean to engage? I would argue that during this time, engagement looks like all of us engaging with Sunday worship, right? Either being here in person or making it a priority when you're not here by watching online. I would say it's engaging with the daily devotionals. Not just taking these Abound booklets and taking notes and feeling convicted on Sunday and then leaving and going doing whatever and then coming back and be like, "Oh yeah, we're going through Abound." No, but like every single day, engaging with what has spent a lot of time pouring into these books. Engage with the booklets. Attend your community groups. But it's more than just being physically present. Engage. Do the pre-work before. Come ready to talk. Be vulnerable. Share what God is doing in your heart. Encourage one another. Lift one another up. Engage in community groups. But most importantly, engage with the Lord. Like Nehemiah, spend time sitting in silence. Break out some time in the morning or the evening. You don't need to talk. Just listen. Hear Jesus weeping for the triangle. Weep alongside of him and ask how he would have you respond. That is 100% engagement. Secondly, to carry out the goals that we believe that God has given us, we believe that we need $12 million across all of our vintage church locations, not just here at West. I saw you go, what? No, not $12 million here. Across all of our locations. And as for the follow-up question that the king asked, how long? 2 years. Now, some brief context here will help. We're not starting from zero and going to $12 million. Our annual budget, again, from all of our vintage locations and congregations, is about $3.4 million a year. We've worked with an expert in this field. Their name is Janaris. You can look them up. They believe that our annual budget should really be more around $5 million a year. Right, and that's not based off future plans that we have. That's simply if all of us fully engaged. And so here's the high-level plan, again, for the $12 million over the course of 2 years. $4 million used as an operating budget for year one of Abound. $4 million used again for year two as an operating budget. And we believe that those beefed up annual budgets that Janaris thinks that we can get to is going to help us get to that $5 million, which in turn not only helps us now, but helps us as we plan and as we steer for the future ahead. Now, if you like math and you like numbers, you're like, David, there's $4 million left. I'm counting the math. We'll see that as we keep reading verses 6 into verse 8. So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall occupy. So we read in these verses that the king miraculously, honestly, approves the high-level plan. He's like, great, go to Jerusalem, rebuild the wall. And then Nehemiah doesn't even give him a chance to breathe. He's like, now I've got some details. It's not just about the high-level plan. Think about it. He has mapped out the journey that he's going to take. He knows what it's going to take to rebuild the wall, to rebuild the gates. And then he's even thought to the level of detail of what letters do I need from the king in order to get safe passage, in order to get the materials that I need. I mean, again, if the goal was 100% engagement, I would argue that Nehemiah has that down, right? He has prayed, he has discerned, and he has built the plan down to every single detail. And we too know the details of the plan. New initiatives, new builders, and new spaces. That's where the remaining $4 million will be leveraged. First, we'll cover the new initiatives. That's a concise way of saying continue to launch the goal of 20 nonprofits that we have. They're going to change the fabric of the city. And continue to plant more churches, both vintage churches and autonomous churches. So far, for the goal of starting 20 nonprofits, we have launched 4 of them. Carol's Kitchen, who creates healthy employment for women overcoming crisis. Corral, who aids in restoration of young girls in high-risk situations through horse therapy. Layers of Dignity, who helps support and redeem sexual assault victims, and Leaders Collective, who helps pastors and church planters sustain healthy and fruitful ministries. That's just 4. And they're already changing the fabric of our city. Can you just imagine with me for a moment what the triangle will look like when we get to 20 of those, five times as much? Imagine with me what it will look like when God blows through our puny goal of 20. Now, in terms of planting churches, there's honestly too many to count. Again, as I've shared before, Vintage Church has four local congregations. We have downtown, North Raleigh, Durham, and then us here at West. We've planted several autonomous or what we will call standalone churches, right? They're not vintage churches, but they're standalone churches. We financially support literally countless more, even across the seas. And we play an active role in Acts 29. That's a network of churches that has a goal to continue to plant more churches. But more than just the ambiguous and kind of sharing what we do, I'm really excited to share that we are officially launching Vintage Church Chapel Hill in the fall of next year. And if anyone needs saving, we know it's the people in Chapel Hill. Can I get a witness that we know they need saving? And we have more goals to plant another in 2023. We've had folks come forward and say that God is stirring in their heart, and we're trying to discern exactly where and when that will be. Now, as you can imagine, launching more nonprofits and planting churches, it takes financial resources. And so part of that $4 million will be leveraged for those initiatives. Next, we're going to invest in builders. And that should really excite you, because the builders are you. The builders are congregants from Durham and Vintage Church North and Vintage Church Downtown. Because, friends, churches and nonprofits don't build themselves. You do. Right? So my heart for this time is that we wouldn't have an audience during Abound. We don't need an audience. We don't need spectators. We don't need viewers. What we need is a congregation. What we need is a family. What we need is a body who leverages everything that they have been given for the glory of God. And I know, because I've had conversations with you, I know so many of you have a passion within you. I know that you feel the stirring in your soul and you believe that God is calling you something, but you are terrified of the unknown. And I totally get that. I was there all of 2017, all of 2018, Lauren was too, when we really said, are we going to quit our job to become an intern at a church to maybe plant a church? I get that it's terrifying. So let's meet over coffee. Let's talk about it. Let's hear what God's doing in your heart. Let's walk this journey together. Maybe you'll be one of the folks who starts a nonprofit. Maybe you'll be one of the folks that plants a church. Part of those $4 million will be invested in you. And maybe you don't feel that calling. That's totally okay. But you should feel excitement, because your generosity will be used to invest in your brothers and sisters of this church. What an honor. What a privilege. Finally, new spaces. That includes buildings for our local congregations. That includes buildings to help incubate, train, and launch new initiatives, and to invest in these new builders. So friends, that's the plan. 100% engagement. $12 million across all of our congregations for 2 years to in turn help launch new initiatives, invest in new builders, and leverage new spaces. And right now, you likely feel a stirring in your soul. I don't know how it feels, but you probably do. Nehemiah did as well. We read that at the tail end of verse 8. And the king granted me what I asked for the good hand of my God was upon me. When Nehemiah considers the state of his city, when he considers how the You want me to try this one? Oh, there we go. Am I on? Can you hear me? All right. So again, we just read this, right? The king granted me what I asked for. The good hand of God was upon me. So as Nehemiah is reflecting, as he's considering what he heard in chapter 1 about the state of Jerusalem, as he considers how the Lord has moved through his life over the past 4 months and how in incredible fashion the king has granted him what he asked, there's only one logical conclusion: that the good hand of his God was upon him. What an incredible place to be when you know that you're within the favor of the Lord. And so again, as we recount the against all odds of our tiny little church plant to be launched on January 5th of 2020, to enter into a pandemic 2.5 months in, meeting outdoors at a public shelter, rain or shine, for 10 months, seeing folks continue to get baptized, to join the church and grow in Christ-likeness. As we consider what's going on in the community around us and the opportunity that we have, what other conclusion can we come to? The good hand of our Lord is upon us. We've covered the church-wide plan, but I also want you to know what we at West are actually doing right now. This isn't what we hope to do. This is what we're doing. And I oftentimes walk forward with the curse of knowledge, and I just forget that I do a pretty bad job sometimes of sharing with you all the things that we're doing. So I'm going to briefly give you a couple things. Elisha Kaufman is our advance director. She's leading a team of folks who are seeking to advance the gospel in Cary, in Apex, and beyond. Right now, she and her team are providing snacks to at-risk students here at Laurel Park Elementary School who often go home hungry. We've been made aware of a recent need earlier and some opportunities, and we're working through them, and I hope to be able to share more with you. But I want you to know that right now, like this week, tomorrow, because of our advanced team, if kids come into this school hungry, they get fed. That's your church. Teachers may be one of the most undervalued professions, and certainly right now. I know we have some in this room. We're immensely thankful for you. I don't know how you do it. And so we're fighting to change that. Instead of teachers having to pay out of pocket for certain school supplies, we purchase those for them. Periodically, we're giving them gifts. We're giving them coffee. We want them to know that they're seen and appreciated. We give them snacks. We give them chocolate even. What doesn't brighten up your day more than chocolate? And again, we're writing notes saying that you're seen, that you're valued, and that we appreciate you. We're pouring into these teachers of this school. In this moment, we're actively pouring into those who are often overlooked or forgotten about in our community. That's not just a vague statement, but those are people who have walked through these doors, and I would share more stories with you, but I don't want to compromise identities or situations. And finally, we haven't forgotten about the DNA, our DNA rather, at West, that has been forged at the shelter. And we are still looking for ways to engage with doubters and seekers at Apex Community Park. And one of the best ways that you can do that is joining us for our Serve and Worship Night on November 13th. That's what we're doing. But friends, we're not at the destination. We can't be. The journey has just begun. The good hand of our God is upon us. So that's Vintage Church wide. That's what we're doing at West. But what about you? How will you leverage everything that you have been given for the fame of Jesus in our city? Again, I'm going to ask you to fully engage. Engage with the Lord through scripture and prayer. Engage with these booklets. Tune in to Abound Online, again, Tuesday nights at 8:30. Engage with your community groups and continue to engage in Sunday worship. And in an effort to be fully transparent for you, not to feel like we just waited till the end to show you this, I'm going to show you this commitment card. There's an example of one in your Abound booklet, like right towards maybe page 28 or so. I don't know. It's an example of it. You'll see this page right here. that you can see a little bigger print, a little easier to read what's going on. But if you don't have this booklet, or this commitment card rather, I really encourage you to pick one out at the resource table on your way out of service today. It's not going to be asked anytime soon, but really spend time praying over it. This is a privilege. This is an opportunity. This is a generational moment. How will the Lord call me to leverage what I've been given for His glory? Now again, Commitment Sunday is not today. Across all of our Ventus locations, that's going to be on Sunday, November 14th. And it's going to be an amazing time as we celebrate what God has done in us and through us over the course of these 6 weeks. But at the same time, I know how some of you are, and you're not going to be able to wait until November 14th. You're going to be chomping at the bit. You're going to be like, I want to come right now and I want to worship. And so we've created space for that, with an advanced commitment night on Tuesday, November 2nd at Union Station. That's in downtown Raleigh. This is going to be a church-wide event. We don't do this often, but that's where congregants from downtown and Durham and North and here at West, we're going to gather under one roof, and we're going to worship, and we're going to celebrate. So again, I encourage you to take these few weeks, consider where we believe that God is leading Vintage Church, and then you spend time fully engaging with the Lord, asking Him what role He would have you to play. As we wrap up our time together, Nehemiah saw the state of his city. He counted the cost, and he believed that it was worth it, to the point of leveraging everything that he had been given for the glory of his God. And as we read Old Testament accounts like this, it's really easy to go, we should be like Nehemiah. Come on, y'all, let's go. But we don't. We don't mimic Nehemiah. We walk in the footsteps of our Lord and our Savior and our King, who saw the dire situation of his people, of all of creation, and he counted the cost to the point of sweating drops of blood as he considered what lay before him. He came to rescue all of creation by coming to live the life that all of humanity could not, and yet paying the penalty that we were due by being mutilated, nailed to a cross, mocked, and ultimately laying down his life. That was his cost. He went all in, leveraging everything he had, the God of the universe, so that people who place their faith in the resurrected Jesus now receive life and life abundantly, both now and into eternity. So if you're a doubter or a seeker, I want you to know that Jesus knew the cost of your salvation. He knew very well. And yet he dove in head first. And so I invite you to believe in his life and his death and his resurrection, and trust in him as your Savior today. And as the follower of Christ, we now leverage everything that we have been given by him for him. I realized this week as I was preparing that oftentimes, if not all the time, I always say something like, leverage everything you have. But I realized I've gotten it all wrong. Everything that we have has been given to us by the one who leveraged everything he had for your salvation. And so we respond by leveraging everything that he has given us only for his glory and his glory alone. This is the history of Vintage Church. Okay? Time and time again, we have been called to leverage what we've been given. We've been called to step up into what God has created us to be, to sweat, to pray, and to even suffer. But the result? Throughout the history of our church, we have had the honor and the privilege of being on the front lines to watch God's grace, God's love, and God's justice overflow in our city and across the world. So I invite you to engage with us, not for these just next 2 years, but for decades to come, because the good hand of our God is upon us. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that when you looked upon the brokenness of your creation, when you considered the cost of its redemption and its restoration, you dove headfirst, leveraging everything that you had, including your life. Thank you. Thank you for your life and your death and your resurrection. And Holy Spirit, would you help us to respond accordingly? Would you help sanctify us more into the image of Jesus by leveraging everything that we have been given for his glory? And Father, I pray that today would be a day of salvation, that we would encounter, perhaps for the first time, what you sacrificed for our redemption. Help us to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ and to trust in him as our Savior today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.